Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here as always with Mike Morial. And Mike, big news today. NHL Central Scouting has released its midterm rankings for the 23 NHL Draft. We've got actual rankings of who people think, who the experts at Central Scouting think are the best players in this year's draft.
Adam, what do you think? Is it a three coffee day? Is it a 4 or 5 coffee day? Because, boy, you know, the writing and looking over these players, you know, I've been up all night. Been up all night, buddy.
Well, 5 coffees for you is an appetizer for that's an appetizer, man. That's even true, man. I've had a cup already this morning
there
to peruse and analyze and see who's where, and no surprise right at the top, right?
Yeah.
No really surprise. Connor Bedard.
Yeah. Connor Bedard at the top of the North American ranks. Leo Carlson in Sweden is atop the international skaters. So, hey, the draft is scheduled to be held at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, June 28th and 29. The draft lottery to determine the first 16 picks will be held in April. But, you know, these rankings right now give us a little bit of a taste of what to look forward to the second half of the season for a lot of these players. Maybe some players that weren't on our radar are now there. The midterm ranks, Adam, let's face it, it's top heavy with forwards. The first 11 on the North American side are forwards, and 25 of the top 32 are forwards. The Western Hockey League wins the day, led by Connor Bedard. 10 of the top 26 are from the Dub, 6 in the second round. The National Team Development Program will also be well represented. They have 5 of the top 22 in the midterm ranks, and 3 NCAA players, led by Adam Fantilli of Michigan at number 2, Matthew Wood of the University of Connecticut at number 8, and Charlie Stramel of the University of Wisconsin is at number 21. And the Ontario League has 8 of the top 32. So the leagues are well represented here, but obviously the Western Hockey League, and we knew this coming into this draft, is really looking really good.
Well, you can look at the scoring leaders in the Western Hockey League and kind of see Central Scouting's midterm rankings there between, you know, the Bedards and the Jaegers and the Zach Bensons of the world, and see all those guys are high up in the Western League scoring race. So all those guys are going to be high up in the Central Scouting's midterm rankings. But let's go to someone who was in the room and had a hand in setting those rankings from the road where he pretty much lives his life. David Gregory from NHL Central Scouting. David, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join us today.
Going well. Thanks for having me. And we had a great meeting. It was a lot of hard work for the first half of the year come to fruition. So it was fun to see the list come together.
Yeah, we're looking forward, to diving in during the course of the season too, and catching some of these players that maybe we didn't know too much about, David. But at the top of course, Connor Bedard, can you kind of take us inside the scouting meeting and maybe offer what your colleagues were saying about Bedard regarding, you know, not only his performance at the World Juniors, but this season in Regina? Being at the meetings, I know sometimes when a vote is unanimous, not a lot needs to be said, but I'm sure there had to be a few in the meeting who felt the urge to say something.
Yeah, that's right on, Mike. When a player like Connor comes around, it's clear where he's going to be on the list, obviously, but just the performance that he's had this season, and we've known about him for a number of years, as you know, but he continues to improve and develop into what's going to be a superstar player in the NHL. So it's always fun to talk about that player, what we saw in certain games, and everybody got to see him 1 or 2 times this year. It's great to just hear that we're all seeing the same thing. Obviously, the whole world's seeing it. So just an amazing player, and just to hear all the guys talk about what they saw and how exciting it was for them to watch him in a game, you know. And you know Peter Sullivan, our veteran guy who's seen it all. I saw a game one day after he did, and I saw Connor have 5 points, and there was only 1 minute gone into the second period. And Peter said, well, I saw him the night before. He had 2 points, but he was better than he was today. So that's the kind of player he is. He doesn't always have to score, but he's always impressive. There's no question about it.
He certainly was at World Juniors when we got to watch him. But I want to talk about number 2 on the list for a minute here, Adam Fantilli. You know, a lot of people watched him at World Juniors. Maybe that was their first viewing of him. And maybe you didn't see the full breadth of his skill set because, you know, he was used in a different role than he is at the University of Michigan. He played on the wing, played in a bottom six role. But for people who maybe haven't seen him, what is it about Adam that put him at number two on the central scouting list?
Well, he's another player that we've known about for a number of years, playing in the USHL for two underage seasons. We've got to see the growth of this player. He's a player that can play at pace and dictate the game. To be one of the youngest players in college hockey, to be a top-line center at the University of Michigan and driving the bus there, it's really impressive to see. And you hit it right on, Adam. He was in a completely different role than he had been in for really the last three seasons that he's been playing. So the fact that he adapted the way he did, and there was flashes of that pace and skill and hockey sense and smarts, and the one goal he got in the semifinal game, I believe, you just see, like, not a lot of players get to the side of the net there and can get a top shelf all in that at that pace and in one motion. So might have had to look for it a little harder at World Junior, but you don't have to look for it hard when you see him in a regular season game at the University of Michigan. He's usually the best player on the ice, and he's playing with guys that are 4 and 5 years older than most of the time.
Yeah, it was impressive at World Junior to see him. I think it was the semifinal game against the U.S. He scored that game-winning goal. But I don't think it was a surprise to see Bedard and Fantilli as the top two. But at number three, it was Will Smith from the U.S. National Team Development Program. What was it about Will that separated him not just from that talented group at the NTDP, but among all the other players, you know, in North America to put him in that spot? And I'm assuming it wasn't a unanimous decision. So can you take us inside, you know, the discussion into what went into Will Smith being number three?
Well, you're right, Adam. There is discussion there. You see that team play, and there's a number of players on that team that obviously ended up in our first round. And during the course of the season, like, you could say, oh, well, Smith was the best this day. And then the next day, oh, well, maybe it was Perreault who was best. Like, it goes back and forth on that group of players who could be the best. But I think for Will, he was consistently always one of the best. There was never a game where it seemed like he wasn't contributing. He wasn't dictating the pace of play. Another player that plays at such a high pace, which is where our game is going now. You have to always been able to skate, but now you have to be able to play at such a high pace to be a factor at the next level. So I think what he did was consistently be that kind of player. And there was some discussion, but it wasn't hard to get him into the number three spot.
I know you've been out to scout number eight Matthew Wood at the University of Connecticut, Dave, quite a few times. In October, you told me that when you watched Wood, you could see, you know, how he was still adapting to the pace of the college game, but that he was really kind of coming into his own. How impressed have you and your colleagues been with his play since, and what type of player do you maybe see him at in the next level?
Well, I think based on where he ended up on our list, you could tell how impressed our group was. I didn't think he'd end up that high starting at the end of the season, certainly not at midterm, because I knew there would be an adjustment phase for him to jump from tier two junior hockey, if you want to call the BC League that, right to college hockey is an adjustment for anybody. It often takes two seasons for someone to have an impact. The thing about Matthew was he had an impact right away. He was literally almost a goal a game for the first five, six games of the season, certainly a point a game. And he was still adjusting to the pace. And it's something that, you know, the college game is run and gun. You have mature players in there that have been working at their craft and becoming quicker, faster players, playing for a team that probably has a system that you have to stick to. To see his progression from the beginning of the season, as I watched him further into the year, saw him five times already this year, you can see that he's already quicker with his feet. He's already quicker with his decisions. He's always had a cannon of a shot that, you know, obviously a goal a game in the BC League last year. That's the type of progression that you start to see. He's capable of doing that as he gets more and more acclimated, I guess, to the college game. But he's got a great hockey sense, great head, shoots the puck like an NHL player already. So it's just onward and upward for him from here. And he's like that big power forward, and it's easy to compare him to Tage Thompson because they went to the same school. They sort of started at the same. They were one of the youngest, if not the youngest player in college hockey, and had to adapt to the pace. But, you know, that's high praise, obviously, to see what Tage is doing now. But that's the kind of player he is. He's going to have an impact on the score sheet at any level.
So, David, we've talked about a lot of talented forwards here, but if looking at the top 32, there's one defenseman in the top 15 and two in the top 20, Lukas Dragicevic of WHL Tri-City at number 12 and Oliver Bonk from London in the Ontario League at number 18. Obviously, these position things kind of go in cycles, but what was it that stood out about Dragicevic and Bonk that earned them where they are on the list amongst all these talented forwards?
Both these players have continued to improve their games. It's one thing that seeing them early in the year, and then, you know, obviously we go back and get second and third viewing. Their games are trending the right way. Both of them are adapting to a larger role on their team than they've had in the past and responded very well. Hockey Sense stands out for both of them. There's a lot of similarities in how they can control the game from the back end. Both of them play a complete game. So, you know, like you said, there's some years when it's defense dominate the top players on the list, and sometimes it's forwards. But just so happens this year it's more forwards. But these two guys have stood out with their complete gameplay.
So there are three right-handed centers, Dave. I was hoping you could provide some insight on. We know how top-heavy, and you just mentioned it, this draft might be with forwards. So maybe those bigger right-handed centers could have an advantage if push comes to shove on the draft floor when the clock is about to expire. But number 5, Braden Jaeger of Moose Jaw in the Western Hockey League. Number 13, Nate Danielson of Brandon in the Dub. And number 17, Callum Ritchie of Oshawa in the Ontario Hockey League. Have you seen distinct qualities in each that maybe separates one from the other?
Well, they are different players, each of them. Jaeger is a player that can play at pace, and he moves so well laterally and with the quickness in tight situations, moves the puck. Sometimes you wonder, how did he know that guy was open? Because he has such good vision. Nate Danielson is a guy that can play the wing too, but I like him at center because he's such a powerful skater and can beat you just by practically running you over, but also with speed and quickness to the outside, and then the ability to still cut to the net when it looks like there's no room to do so. And then Callum Ritchie has just really got those eyes on all sides of his head where he sees things that are just maybe not visible to others and can make that quick decision on when to move the puck and find the open man, but also deceivingly think he's going to pass it, and then it's in the back of the net because he's got such a quick release.
David, there's two players from the bronze medal team from the U.S. at the World Juniors, Charlie Stramel, who's at number 21, and Gavin Brindley, who's at number 40. Did them earning a spot on the World Junior team, regardless of how they played, affect where you guys would rank them, just because you're 17, 18-year-old playing in that high-end tournament? Or was it more solely based on what you've seen from Stramel during his time at Wisconsin and Brindley at Michigan?
I think it's a combination of both. Like it's always great when, for us at Central and amateur scouts, I think with teams, when young players make these teams, because you get to see them in that high pressure, higher level environment. So we knew a lot about what Charlie was and what Gavin is, with their playing at their college teams, but to get to see them in this environment and to just sort of confirm what we thought was happening, like you can see that development is going to continue to happen. Both those players contributed and did really, really well for the U.S. team and were part of the reason they did win a medal. I think in my experience, even when I was involved with pro teams, when young players went away to the World Junior and came back, they always came back different players just because of what that experience teaches them. The compete level, how you have to, you know, be able to keep up with everybody that is the best players in the world at your age group. you get back into your normal environment, and usually you see an even bigger uptick from these players. And I expect that'll happen with these two.
David, one more from me. Looking at the top 32, number 19, Bradley Nadeau, goes about 5'10", 161 pounds of Penticton in the BCHL. Kind of stuck out to me. That obviously, you mentioned it earlier with Matthew Wood, a product of the BCHL, is now going to UConn. Nadeau is in his second season with the V's. He projects to finish with over 40 goals and 100 points. Last count, I think he was at 27 goals, 64 points in 33 games. It looks like he's headed to the University of Maine in 23-24. What did the group see in the right-handed shot? And I know he plays left wing.
Well, we, again, another player that we've known because of his underage year at the BC League, and to see him to continue to develop is, you know, allowed us to say, okay, this guy belongs in the group with these, what we call A-rank players starting the year, but in our first round as this midterm list came out. And he's just a smart player that has all the tools. You know, it takes an interesting decision to play the off wing, because you put yourself at a disadvantage in your own zone, trying to get that pass coming out of your own zone turned the wrong way, in a sense. It's much easier if you play your left wing plays a left shot, a left shot plays the left wing breaking out of your zone. So you have to be smart. You have to have quick hands, which is all the things that he does. But then when he gets into the attacking zone, all of a sudden that disadvantage for him becomes an advantage, because he sees all the ice in front of him. He can dish easily from the off wing, and also his stick is on the inside, and you know, he has a lethal shot that he can get away, and has obviously done so with a lot of success and scored a lot of goals already this year. So he's just a complete package.
Well, David, we could go up and down the Central Scouting midterm rankings talking about all these guys. Use your expert opinion, but thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for talking about the list. And we look forward to what Central Scouting's got for the rest of the season.
Thanks a lot, Adam and Mike. You know, we at Central really appreciate you guys displaying a little bit of what we do through the course of the year. So we really appreciate it, and always happy to come on anytime. So thank you very much.
I don't know where you want to jump off into, but to me, you look at the midterm rankings and Will Smith at number three. That was sort of the surprise for me, because there's a lot of candidates there. You know, you look at the rest of that group from the national team program, Ryan Leonard, Oliver Moore, you know, Gabe Perreault. There could have been a lot of guys in that spot. Another guy from the Western League like Braden Yeager, Zach Benson. You know, were you a little bit surprised when you saw Smith at number three?
No, not really, Adam. You know, it seems like the NTTB has a real good assortment of players here, players with different qualities about their game. You know, Will Smith, you know, at number three, I think is where he should be. I think it's kind of neat to see, you know, we have Will Smith at number three. We got Ryan Leonard at number four from the national program. And we got Oliver Moore, who I think is just shooting up the ranks. He's at number six. I watched Oliver Moore in a game against Muskegon when I was over at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, you know, last month. Adam, they were prepping up for the World Junior Championship during development camp, and the NTTP had a game there, and I went to watch it. And Oliver Moore was the one kid that really stood out with his skating, the way he was able to create scoring chances for his line mates, and just his overall demeanor on the ice, on the bench. I really was impressed with this kid. He was a kid that going into that game, I knew about, but didn't know he would be that special a player. So for the NTTP to have three players here in the top six, and they actually, if you count Gabriel Perreault, they have four in the top 15. So it's a good, nice assortment of players here for the NTTP. I wanted to hear David's answer for that one question I had, Adam, about the three centers, the three right-handed centers in this draft. And I mentioned Braden Yeager in that mix at number five from Moose Jaw. And Braden is actually, you know, he writes a draft diary for us on NHL.com. You can see that every once a month he files a diary. It's usually the first or second week of the month. And he's been doing a fantastic job. But Braden, a big centerman. He's playing a huge role for Moose Jaw this year. He's playing, you know, alongside one of our favorite players in Jaeger Furkus, who was drafted last year by Seattle.
The Furkus Circus.
The Furkus Circus, yeah. So Jaeger is a big centerman. He told me that, you know, entering this season, he wanted to become more of a playmaker, you know, maybe dishing out and creating offensive opportunities for his linemates. And he's doing just that. He's on a tear of late as far as assists go. I think he has maybe 10, 11 assists in his past 8-9 games. So he says he would like to maybe, you know, get on the score sheet a little bit more, but and he will. But right now at number five, obviously scouts like what they see in Braden, what he's been able to produce. So a credit to him. But there are a lot of good centermen, and we know that this draft is top heavy in forwards, Adam. So it's going to be interesting to see where these, you know, eventually these defensemen fall.
Well, not just I know we spent a lot of time talking about the North American players, but the international list also came out, and we should touch on that a little bit, because when you look at the top five on the list, Leo Carlson from Örebro in Sweden, Matvei Michkov from Sochi in the KHL, defenseman Axel Sandin Pelika from Skellefteå in Sweden, Dalibor Dvorsky, the Czech player who also plays in Sweden for AIK, Edward Chalet plays for Brno in the Czech League. You're talking five guys who could go in the top 10. You know, we had the chance to watch, you know, four of those five guys at World Juniors. And I know, Mike, you know, we talked about Chalet last week with last episode with Jason Bukala from Sportsnet. You can go back and listen to that episode. You know, all four, you know, the four guys that we got to watch, obviously with the exception of Michkov at World Juniors, all stood out as 17, 18 year old players in a, you know, a tournament really geared towards 19 year olds. To have that standout noticeable ability says something, and they're all playing in the men's league. None of them are playing, you know, junior hockey in their respective countries. They're all playing with and against grown, developed men. And here they are, where we're talking about them as top 10 NHL draft picks, you know, especially Carlson, right? You know, you could not be impressed by him at 18 years old, playing on the top line for Sweden at the World Juniors on the wing, not even his natural position. And he was outstanding.
He was. And, you know, Carlson was the one that kind of stood out because of his size. And, you know, with our, you know, interview with Jason Bukala, he did say that Carlson might be, you know, one of those guys that can or eventually would play center in the NHL after being drafted, because he has that size. He has that tenacity about his game. So I like Carlson at number one here, kind of a little bit of a bold statement by NHL Central Scouting, but I like it. Goes about 6'3", 198 pounds. So he's got that size, that frame, of course. And I did ask, you know, Dan Marr of Central Scouting, you know, what was the difference maker between Carlson and Matvei Michkov? Because we all know, Adam, you know, entering this season and even last season, Michkov was right there. You can actually say he was right there with Bedard. He was that special a player. But things have changed for Michkov. He got injured early, late last season, early this season, missed a lot of games. He was loaned to Sochi from St. Petersburg. So we had that a little bit, but it seems like he's starting to get his footing now with Sochi in eight games. I think he has 5-6 points. He's gaining minutes, big minutes with that club. He's playing a little over 15 minutes a game. So Marr said that was probably the one thing right now why Michkov might be two, but it's almost like a 1B in their eyes, because they feel as though the second half of the season is going to determine where Michkov places in those final ranks. But I also, in that same vein, you know, defensively, we know about the defensemen on the North American side, but on the international side, there were three top defensemen. Yeah, Sweden's Axel Sandin Pelika is at number three. Russia's Mikhail Guliyev is at number eight. And Austria's David Reinbacher is at number 10. All three of these defensemen, I think, are good play. I mean, Guliyev goes about 5'10", 172 pounds. I've watched video. Maybe he's the defenseman that will eventually earn best defenseman in this draft class, Adam. It's you know, it's that wide open, I think, right now. An offensive-minded guy. He's a left-handed shot. Plays well at both ends. Real smooth skater. Has some offensive tools there. His skating allows him to be great in transition and what he wants to accomplish with his teammates. Real good passer, and one of his best skill sets is his passes from the blue line. off the transition. His hands, puck control deserve praise, and they make him a threat in the offensive zone. Obviously, there's some defensive concerns, like most young defensemen, but he should be able to fix those with experience and more development. I think he has the potential to be a good number three defenseman in NHL, maybe someday, and that would be great value for where he might land in June. But overall, I just like the overall look of the defenseman on the international side, too. We know what Palicka could do. We saw him for Sweden at World Juniors, and we spoke to Jason Bukala as well about David Reinbacher, and David is one of those players that he said that, you know, could be among that mix of players that is drafted as the top defenseman. So it'll be interesting to see.
I really like Reinbacher, and he was in a bit of a tough spot at World Juniors playing for, you know, an Austrian team that really didn't have much of a chance at juniors because they just don't have the talent level. And then, you know, on top of that, he got sick, you know, late in the tournament. So he admittedly wasn't at his best. And when Austria lost to Latvia in the relegation games, but 6'2", 185 right-handed shot. He's playing in Kloten in the Swiss league. So he's playing against high level competition. You know, to me, he reminds me a little bit of Marit Seider, a guy who came from, you know, maybe a quote unquote non-traditional hockey country where Seider was playing, you know, in Germany. And, you know, you look at what Seider has done. He's arguably one of the best 23 and under defensemen in the world right now. So I think, you know, I'm not going to put Reinbacher in that mix yet, but I think he's a guy that you can look at and you can kind of see the talent and the skills. And with the right time and the right development, he could be that same sort of player, a guy who kind of comes from not out of nowhere, but a guy who didn't grow up in the traditional powerhouse countries, who's able to be a really, really good, impactful NHL player. And, you know, could he be the first defenseman drafted this year? It's certainly going to be an interesting question when you've got Sandin Pelikka, you know, you mentioned Guliyev, the couple of guys on the North American list, you know, a guy like Lukas Dragicevic or Oliver Bonk, you know, who knows where the first defenseman's going to go, right? With all these top end forwards, if you need a D, maybe if you laid them out position blind just based on skills, maybe there's not a defenseman among your top 15 players, but it becomes like an economic question, the law of supply and demand. There isn't a huge supply, but there might be a lot of demand. So a guy who maybe talent-wise should go 15 to 20, maybe a defenseman sneaks into the top 10. It might just be one, but it's going to be interesting to see which one.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about Reinbacher, you know, Stevie Y comes to mind, right, Adam? You could just see Steve. That's a Steve Yzerman draft pick if there ever was one. You know, someone out of the blue that, you know, this kid could go high. He could go maybe mid. You're not sure where it's going to happen. And out jumps, you know, Stevie Y with that pick of David Reinbacher to further solidify his back end in the pipeline. So, yeah, it's going to be great. And if you did or haven't heard earlier episodes of NHL Draft Class, we also had, of course, the number one projected prospect in this year's draft, Connor Bedard. We spoke to him one-on-one. We had an episode earlier, so please check that out. Everything was fantastic what Connor had to tell us. But yeah, I mean, you heard David too, right? Adam talking about Connor Bedard and how excited the scouts were. You know, Peter Sullivan there for a 2-point night and telling David Gregory that, yeah, you saw him on a 5-point night, but I saw him on a 2-point night and he probably was even better than your, you know, 5-point night. So now scouts are, you know, not arguing on the good and bad of Connor Bedard, but who saw him at a better point during the season. So interesting stuff there from Dave.
Yeah, it's good versus better. I mean, you know, we talked about Bedard so much at World Juniors. He goes back to Regina, his first game, 4 goals, 2 assists. So you wonder, maybe there'd be a little World Junior hangover. Maybe he's not quite got his skating legs from back from all the celebration he did. No, just a 6-point night. Season high, I should add. Season high,
career,
6-point night.
Career high at Regina.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a career high. Yeah.
Yeah. And you wonder why there was no real argument over who could be number one on the North American list from the Central Scouting Scouts. You know, we know, they know. It's kind of not a fait accompli, but it's pretty much there that Connor Bedard is going to be the number one pick of the draft. And, you know, whichever team wins the draft lottery is going to be very lucky to get him.
And players know too. I mean, right. We know, coaches know, scouts know, but the players he's up against have told us, right, Adam? This is a special kid. he's number one. They even say it. I spoke to a lot of Czechia players, you know, winning the silver medal at World Juniors, and Edward Chalet even told me, he's like, oh my gosh, this kid is number one in the draft for sure. So they all see it. They all know it. It's rare to have your peers say that kind of thing, knowing that they're in the same draft class, but there's no question in this, you know, this year that Connor Bedard is the man.
Well, it's all part of a very busy January coming up for the draft prospects and for us at NHL Draft Class. You know, we're coming off World Juniors. As we talked earlier, we talked to Jason Bukala from Sportsnet to talk about, you know, the wrap up the World Juniors. You can go back and listen to that episode. We have spoken to Connor Bedard, and I think we're going to speak to him again coming up here very soon, Mike, right?
Yeah, we got the CHL Top Prospects game on January 25th. So during that time, you know, interviewing a lot of the prospects there, we'll speak to Connor as well as many other of the top prospects included in that game. And then, you know, next week on the 16th, we have the All-American Prospects game, Adam, which is always a lot of fun at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth. So that'll be upcoming as well. So a lot to look forward to end the month.
Absolutely. So you can follow all of our scribblings on NHL.com. You can follow us on social media. I am at NHL Adam K. Mike, you are?
At Mike Moriel, NHL.
But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.